The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 958. On the podcast today, I have Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com, talking about Debenhams update. Not pretty good for them. Also, Whitbread, Tesco and Next, he also mentions. Plus, today, doing something a bit different. And this comes from Twitter, and it's lessons learned from traders and investors. It's actually Dan on Twitter, who I follow, he follows me. He was asking for two friends of his who want to start trading investing, and was asking the sort of Twitter community, what lessons, how, you know, what would you say to someone who's new to trading investing? A bit of advice, what would you give them? So I thought, I'll run with this and see what we get. So I put this out on Twitter and got some replies, a lot of replies. I can't do all of them, but I will do five a day, depending how long it goes on for. And but some good advice here. So we'll cover lessons learned from regular traders and investors. I also have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. And of course, the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now, first time for the new year, 2018, it's Chris Bailey, founder of FinancialOrbit.com. You're right, Chris.
Very well, Justin. Happy New Year to you. Hope it be a successful one. Judging by the FTSE 100 at a record high as we speak, I guess by definition it's already been a successful one for a few people. But there you go. Long may that continue.
Yeah, and I inhabit a smaller cap space, but it's been cracking because I do hold quite a few resource stocks. And I'm sort of positioned into these areas where I think we'll do well. I've got sort of copper, lithium, all that cobalt covered. It's been flying, to be honest. Last month or so, it's been flying. So it's good, and it's. What do you think? It looks like it's going to continue. Because someone said recently on Twitter. Someone was asking for advice for friends who were starting to invest, and I just said one of the things you should always look about risk. I said you can't control what the share price or what the market does, but you can control your exposure to that. How much you put into that, basically. So always look about that. But I also said, and this guy said, don't buy at the moment. Market's at an all-time high. But I came back to listen. I said, bull markets can go on longer than is rational, can't they? And, people think a sell-off may happen, but it can continue, can't they,
Yeah, absolutely. And if somebody had a shortcut to the truth on markets, they would be extremely rich and no doubt retired. Nobody ultimately knows. But what you can use is common sense. So, yes, stay diversified. For me, the most sensible thing to think about is to know what you're investing in. If you know what you're investing in, then or at least have a feel for why you want to invest in something, then that's good. So, do some work, read about a company. Don't just take a tip from someone. Do a little bit of extra work. Go to the corporate website. Have a look at the latest results. See if it makes sense to you. Maybe if it's a consumer company, go to the store. See what you think. Those insights are really valuable. So I think investing is ultimately common sense with sort of an acknowledgement of a few numbers and some appreciation of sort of longer term themes. You put all of that together, and hopefully the stock market can be a friend to you rather than a foe.
Exactly. And there's nothing more important, I think, than the price. Like you said, you can research and buy a good company at a bad price. If a company's just topped out or was hitting previous highs and it's had resistance there before on a chart, then it may not get above that, even if it's a good company. And likewise, you can buy a bad company at a good price and make money off it. So, the price is, with that in research in mind, you've always got to look at where the price is, in relation to the chart, I think. It's always very important to sort of nail that down,
Yeah, absolutely. And valuation is very difficult. And chart-based analysis has its pros and cons as well. As I say, there's no silver bullet. There's no shortcut to the truth. You've just got to kind of put the jigsaw pieces together and say, what makes sense to me? And that's the key. Ultimately, though, I think it's common sense. It's saying, do I understand it? Do I have faith in it? Mm-hmm. Are they living up to their promises or not? And ultimately, you know, somebody once said to me many years ago, you really learn about an investment when you're already invested in it. And I think that is so true.
Yeah.
Because you can do all the work you like, but when you're holding it, when you see them report some numbers, when you see the day-to-day share price volatility or whatever it might be, that's when you really learn. So start small. You can always buy more.
That's, do you know what? That's one of the other things I said. Always scale in. Don't worry. When you buy a stock, and if you, two things I try to do as well is do a research on a company and try and buy on a down day. You know, and that's quite hard. It's harder than you think, because if you've done research on a company, it's easy to jump in when it's flying. And you know, all stocks have a bit of a pullback. I mean, they all do. You may think that it's going to the moon and it'll never come back, but they all do. And so, you know, there's plenty of time to do some research.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and try and get a good entry. That,
that's right. Well, you know, it's funny, isn't it? You know, we've obviously just had all the Christmas sales and everything else, and people get excited when they see 20% off, 40% off, 80% off, whatever it might be. But when a share is in that sort of frame, when you see share prices for whatever reason temporarily under pressure, people are less willing to buy them. They're more willing to buy them when they're rocketing up. So you know, it's a funny psychological game, the stock market. But this is why you have to know what you're investing in and why, and just don't fall into the flavor of the day, because the flavor of the day might not be actually tomorrow where you want to be positioned.
Yeah, exactly. Marvellous stuff. Okay, with that in mind, let's look at some specific stocks. So what are you looking at? Well, who has news out there, Chris?
Well, we mentioned the Christmas sales a half a minute ago, and we've got to start with those. And what can only be described as a shocker set of numbers from Debenhams. Well, it's really a sort of a Christmas trading update, and there'll be a bunch of these from all sorts of retailers over the next couple of weeks. Yesterday, we had a strong update from Next, who basically said that their full price sales were going to be slightly better than they expected. The shares responded positively to that. By contrast, Debenhams, my goodness, they said that particularly in the post-Christmas period, sales were below expectations, having to do big markdowns. And what this has meant is that profits are going to be lower than they thought. I reckon, looking at what they said previously, around about 30% lower than expectations. No surprises to see the shares down. When I last looked, about 18% this morning.
Yeah.
And if you look at the longer-term share price chart, my goodness, Debenhams has been an absolute shocker. You know, you kind of come to the view that with all the structural changes in retail, Debenhams would not be a business if you had to start today, you would create. You know, it's something which exists, but if you had to create it today, you wouldn't bother.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is one of the stores that, you know, people do sort of, it's almost second or third choice, isn't it, store? You know, it's not the one you go to. So I don't know any sort of Debenham fans, fanatics, you know, that goes
somewhere.
So we are.
Absolutely. No, it's sometimes location can be good for legacy reasons, but you're right. It's not the number one clear best at something. You know, I say, you look at Next yesterday, and Next is the best if you want the sort of middle of the road kind of work or casual clothing. It's the best, or one of the best at that. It's a very sensible company, well run, good balance sheet, etc. Debenhams, it isn't number one really in anything. Its balance sheet is not as strong. It's had troubles. It's in the middle of a turnaround again. That came out in the statement this morning. You know, this has reiterated there that the newish management's desire to look to change the company. All I would say, if you're looking to bottom fish in this one, wait for the update in a couple of months' time or so, when the management come with their plan for 2018-2019. You know, wait for the plan, see what they're thinking, because when I look at the company today, I'm not convinced by the rationale for it. You've got debt, you've got difficult trading. That's a rough old sort of combination. And just because a share is, as the old expression goes, you know, just because the bottom of the chart is not, the bottom of the page is not necessarily the bottom of the chart.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the share price chart today, it looks atrocious. You run it back over the last year, it looks atrocious. The share has been lower. The last time it was lower was in the last big recession back in 2008-2009, when there were legitimate concerns about Debenhams' sustainability. And you can bet people are worrying about that a little bit today. I think the new management team here has a big job. Wait for their plan, see what they're going to do. I think they'll probably do some write-downs and other stuff. But you can afford to wait for that. and then make a decision on this one.
Yeah, it's been a horrendous looking chart. It's been in a downtrend pretty much since 2012. It peaked at like 121. It went down to sort of like about 70, bounced then to 110, then continued down again, tried to recover. Each high it had was lower than the previous one. And then from when? About 2015, May, just gone down. And it's horrendous, down to like 30. And then today, just compounded the fact by gapping down again. It's no sort of trend reversal here at all. So it looks horrendous.
Absolutely. You've had people like Mike Ashley sniffing around, taking little stakes and stuff. And, you know, we'll see whether somebody wants to get a bit more aggressive with the company. But my observation would be, let that come to you. You know, this is a tough one to pick, and there are far more sensible companies out there to be looking at.
Excellent stuff. Anything else there, Chris?
A quick one on Whitbread. They've announced today a new chairman. Now, Whitbread's an interesting company, obviously FTSE 100 name, two big brands in Costa Coffee and Premier Inn. And it's a company where there's been a lot of criticism of the management team over the last year or two. A lot of people saying, look, it's kind of obvious that the way to create value is to have separate Costa and Premier Inn businesses. And the management team have been very defensive on this front, said, no, you know, there's much bigger and better value in bringing the two together, in keeping the two together. An activist shareholder came onto the books of Whitbread, bought some shares late last year. You know, it remains to be seen what they're thinking, but I would have thought they'll be agitating over time about this, even if they're doing it privately with management. So the appointment of the new chairman, it's Adam Crozier, which investors in companies such as the Royal Mail or ITV will know him well. He's been a CEO of both of those companies and did a pretty good job at both of them, I have to say. He's been on the Whitbread board for about 9 months or so. He's now stepped up to the chairman position. I think Adam Crozier could be the type of guy to say, look, we've actually got to start thinking a bit more radically here. So I see the shares, I think they popped up when I last looked, to around about the £40 level, which has been a big level for the stock. I would say 2018 could be an interesting year for Whitbread. I wonder whether there'll be a bit more public musing about whether there could be some creation, value creation opportunity with by looking to perhaps separately list Costa or something like that. So interesting appointment today. I think a good one.
Excellent stuff. Okay, and anything else there, Chris?
Well, otherwise, the things to look out for the next 2 weeks is chock-a-block full of retail Christmas trading updates. We've had some updates today from companies like Audi and Nissa. Neither of those are on the market, but it looks to me as if the themes for the food retailers, at least of convenience, is still very good. Clearly, shoppers are still looking for a bargain. Audi sales were up strongly. But I think all of this in terms of food retailers sort of understanding their customers a bit more, convenience being good, I think that serves a Tesco still well. We talked about Tesco's in the last month or two. I think Tesco still has some recovery scope. And obviously, they've announced the deal with Booker in the last few weeks. That's moving towards completion. I think Tesco's is still a stock where there's still a bit of catch-up potential, but clearly their trading update is going to be all critical. That's coming next week.
Marvellous stuff. Chris, good to chat to you, and hopefully chat again next week. Thanks very much.
Have a good one.
Okay, it's time for Lessons Learned from Investors and Traders, like I mentioned earlier. So I'll do five a day, depending how many I get, of course, but this is the first one. Do your own research. Can't stress this enough. I just started trading about 3 months ago and was such a novice at the start, buying into pump and dumps from Twitter. Once you learn how to evaluate a company properly, you can actually start to make independent decisions. That's Jamil TDE. Okay, second one. Don't leverage your investments, i.e. spread bets. I learned the hard way. That's Dan Lane UK, and it started from Dan. This was inspired by Dan, who's looking for advice for two friends of his who want to start trading and investing. Third bit of advice, ignore the experts. I believe that as well. I've seen so many experts wrong on so many companies. I mean, do your own research, you know. But ignore the experts. The biggest mistake I have made is becoming taking advice from experts. Ignore the noise, follow the trend. That's Manic Miner. Okay, don't put your eggs all in one basket. Spread the risk. That's AIM Polster. And the last one today is Don't be in a rush to invest. If you found a share that you think you want to invest in, take some time to research and try and find reasons not to buy. I've always thought that. I always think of the risks. What could go wrong here? Carries on. Confirmation bias can be a dangerous thing if after you research, you still think the share has merit. Then scale in and never more than you can afford to lose. That's the big cheese foe. Thanks for that, guys. And I'll put some more, by the way, there's a link here on the blog if you want to submit your advice you've learned. And I'll read it on the podcast. All right, top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are, at five, Symphony Environmental. I do like this company, SYM. Do your research on this. But basically, they create smart plastic, biodegradable plastic, which is a huge problem. And I quite like this. And they already, and they haven't been floated long, but turned a profit and did an upbeat sort of trading update today, which is improved figures or upgrades figures from a previous trading update a few months back. That's SYM, Symphony Environmental. At four, Vesarion, the head dog in graphene, I believe, VRS. At three, Zenanga Iron, OC. At two, MySquare, MYSQ. And number one most followed company is Fast Forward Innovation. It's got a lot of followers now, Fast Forward. That's FFWD. All right, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Primoris Investments, PRIM, quarterly investor update. At four, MySquare, MYSQ, response to market commentary. At three, SDX Energy. That's SDX Morocco update. At two, Sirica Energy, SQZ, Forties Pipeline and Erskine Field Restart. And number one most liked RNS came from Eco Energy. That's ECO and AIM Reverse Takeover. All right, don't forget, if you have some advice to something, a lesson you've learned and you want to share it, please do that. Click the link here at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz. Discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.